Well, if you take your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 15. We're continuing in this great chapter about union with Christ. The text is going to be 3 through 9. I'm going to begin at verse 1 so that we just remember what we went over last week. John chapter 15. This is God's holy word. Listen carefully. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and the congregation said, Amen. Well, as we saw last week, Christ is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser. And Christ, the true vine, produces fruit pleasing to the vine dresser through the branches. Fruits of obedience and justice and righteousness. Fruits that God wanted, as we read in Isaiah last week. In Christ, there are two branches, those that bear fruit and those who do not. Those who do not bear fruit are superficial. They have an outward relationship with Christ. They're those who attend church, those who grew up in the church, those who go through the motions. They could be very moral people. They could be outwardly pious. But as you and I are going to see tonight, they do not abide in Christ. And I want us to begin with these branches because this is the heavy portion of Jesus' teaching when he talks about union with Christ. The branches that do not bear fruit are removed by the Father because, as verse 6 reveals, they're dead. And they're dead because they do not abide. And therefore, while they look like the other branches, their relationship with the vine is only superficial. And this word abide is what makes all the difference between the two branches. The branch that bears fruit abides in the vine, or Christ, while the dead branch does not. And so the key between the two branches is abiding. And before we tackle that key word, I want us to simply focus on the dead branches. The easiest thing to do with the dead branches is to expand this parable to make it about the whole world. Because therefore, the dead branches are simply those outside of the church, and that brings comfort to everyone in the church. And that makes a minister's life really easy. Because then all we have to do is create sermons saying, don't be like those outside of the church. And we point to sins that make us all feel icky. And we all nod. And everyone in the church is given a false sense of security because we're not like those dead branches. And beloved, my life would be so much easier if I can do that. Because every sermon, all I'd have to do is rail against the culture, and you all would nod, and we'd walk away with a false sense of security. What Jesus says here is so much more disturbing. What is here is a parable about two branches that outwardly look like branches. And the only difference is one bears fruit pleasing to God and the other bears no fruit. And you have to see this in the parable, and you have to grasp this in the parable. The Father takes away the branches that do not bear fruit. In other words, outwardly, these branches look the same. The only difference is one produces fruit, one does not. The church is warned from the Old Testament to the New that within God's people, there are always believers and unbelievers. Therefore, we're called to examine our faith. The Apostle Paul highlights this when he's dealing with the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 11, just before the words of institution for the Lord's Supper, Paul challenges the Corinthian church that is dealing with spiritual pride, and listen to what he says. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. It's rather startling, isn't it? Why are there divisions? Why are there factions? So that those who are genuine may be recognized. The Apostle John in 1 John makes a similar declaration. In 1 John 2, he does another teaching about our union with Christ, about abiding in Christ. In 1 John 2, the same word we find here in chapter 15 is used several times. And John declares that those who abide in Christ, they love one another. They keep God's word, and therefore they will abide with God forever. And as John concludes his teaching about abiding, he states this: Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. And that word, they would have continued with us, is significant because before that verse, it's translated as abide. And in John 15, it's translated as abide. The dead branches do not remain or continue with Christ. So in John 15, it's described as the Father removing them, but in 1 John 2, it's described as them going out because they do not abide. For the disciples in the upper room, as they are hearing this teaching, they have just watched this occur. Judas has spent 3 years with Christ, but the proof that he did not abide with Christ is he has gone out. He has left. The dead branches are removed, gathered, and thrown into the fire. Now, again, there are some in the visible church that want to tone down Jesus' language here. But what Jesus is describing is the image of judgment. In this gospel, this word for fire is only used here. In Revelation, another letter from the Apostle John, it's used five times, with three of them referring to judgment. In the four Gospels, this word is used a total of 14 times. 11 of those times, it refers to judgment, with four of those referring specifically to eternal fire. Jesus is not describing a refining fire that these dead branches go through. Jesus is speaking of a judgment focused solely on the fact that these branches do not abide with him. This is to be sobering. It is to make you and I not desire to be dead branches. We are to desire to be the fruitful ones. And so we have to turn to that key word to learn how can we be a fruitful branch. The key difference between both branches is one abides and one does not. Abide here is not some special holy word. It means to remain or to continue. It is a common verb. The fruitful branches remain. The fruitful branches continue. Does that mean that to abide in Christ, you just simply have to make sure you are here whenever the doors open? Maybe to even get extra assurance, you should add in some, you know, parachurch conferences. Surely then we're abiding. I want you to hear me. This is close to what Jesus is saying, but it's also miles apart. The key to understanding abiding in Christ in this passage is found in two verses, verse 3 and verse 7. In verse 3, Jesus' disciples are clean because of Jesus' word spoken to them. This is so important to grasp. Verse 3 says nothing about what the disciples do with Jesus' words, simply that they are clean because of his word spoken. What makes the disciples clean is Christ's spoken word. The emphasis on this verse is the power of Christ's words towards his disciples. They are passive. We would use the terms receive and rest. They've not done anything but received Christ's spoken word. Those very words the Spirit will remind them of when the Spirit comes upon them, as Jesus mentioned in the last chapter. The disciples are clean not because of what they do, but because of what they received, Christ's spoken word. And then you have to notice verse 7. This verse is often misused and misunderstood. In verse 7, you should notice they are again passive. If they abide in Christ and if his word abides in them, what they ask will be done. And you have to remember that abiding means remain or continue. To abide in Christ in this passage focuses on what his word does in you. The branches that abide in Christ abide in him because Christ's word abides in those branches. How do you know that you are truly saved? How can you have assurance of your salvation? Where is God's word in your life? And beloved, Jesus in this parable is not stating a new teaching. He is stating, merely repackaging, the law of God. I often refer to Deuteronomy 6 because that is such a key passage. In Deuteronomy 6, we have the Shema, the first confession of faith. I want you to listen to it and what God expects of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Did you hear my emphasis? Did you hear the emphasis that is there? These words I command. Let's use language from John 15. The words I've spoken to you, they will be on your heart. You shall teach them. You shall talk of them. You shall walk in them. You shall bind them to you. You will write them down on your houses. God expected his people to abide in his word. Jesus is saying nothing new except for this. He is now the central focus, the proof that they are abiding in God's word. Jesus is rewording Deuteronomy 6 so that the focus is rightly on him. To abide in Christ means we actively hear his word so that all we do demonstrates his word. Our ethics, our politics, our leisure, our vocations, our families are to reflect his word. The way to love God is to be united to Christ, to hear his word, to believe it, to obey it, to meditate on it, to submit ourselves to it, to have it change us from the inside out. To abide in Christ is for his word to rule over every aspect of it. And beloved, from Deuteronomy 6 on, that has always been God's command. A Christian is not simply one who makes a profession that has little to no impact in their life. That's a dead branch. A Christian is one who is cleansed by God's word and therefore obeys it so that everything about them is changed by that word. So they cannot help but talk about it. They cannot help but live according to it, because it is everything to them. Because they have heard the spoken word. A Christian is not simply one who knows about the word, but in thought, word, and deed, everything about them is about the word. And so important is this, is that when Jesus is resurrected, he declares this to his disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Here is the importance of Christ's word. He says to his disciples, the way you make disciples is that you must teach them my word so that they obey it, so that it dwells in them. Well, how do they do that? And Paul tells us in Romans 10, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? To abide in Christ means his spoken word has cleansed us and now dwells in us. And when you go throughout the New Testament, what that means is that the church has to be declaring Christ's word to one another and to the world, and the instrument that Christ gives the church is preaching for that to occur. And so important is this that our shorter catechism picks it up and devotes a whole question to this, question 89. And this is what question 89 says. How is the word made effectual to salvation? The answer, the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Our corporate worship services show the importance to this. Our form of government reveals this when it states ministers are to be devoted to the ministry of the word. A local congregation that does not abide in the words of Christ preached is a local congregation that will be removed. A professing Christian who makes light of the preached word will be one who will go out of the church. To abide in Christ means we abide in his word because Christ declares this, apart from me, you can do nothing. We are utterly dependent upon his spoken word to change us into his image. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. We don't show up at church to merely get tweaked. We don't show up at church for behavioral modification. We show up at church to hear Christ's spoken word because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. The only reason you want to pray, the only reason you desire worship, the only reason you desire the preached word is Christ. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. A local congregation may have many programs, may be involved in many moral and social issues, and not abide in his word. And to these churches, Jesus warns, you will be removed. A church member may be very busy meeting the needs of many, standing up for all the right issues, may devote themselves to theological debate, but if Christ's spoken word does not abide in them, they will be removed. Beloved, in Christ's day, the dead branches were not just Judas. They were the Pharisees. They were the ones who were morally right. They were the ones who were outwardly very religious. They were exalted within their conservative culture, and they refused to listen to Christ's word. So Jesus declares, you are dead. A branch that bears much fruit is not necessarily the one that is always busy. It's the one that listens to Christ. Think of Martha and Mary and Christ's warning to Martha. Martha was busy serving, and she resented that Mary was sitting listening to Jesus. I've seen that same resentment in churches. In their conservative culture, Martha was right, Mary was wrong, but listen to what Jesus says in Luke 10. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Mary had chosen to listen to the words of Jesus, but to her culture, that meant she was neglecting her duty. And Jesus challenged his cultural attitude of his day. His word must come first, and that leads to fruit, never the other way around. To know if you abide in Christ, you simply need to examine, where is Christ's word in my life? Is it a priority for you to hear his word read and preached, or is busyness better? Do you come each Lord's Day expecting to learn from God's word, or are you simply doing your duty, or worse, are you a critic? To abide in Christ means we abide in his word so that it is a priority for us. And so the reading and preaching of his holy word is a priority because it's through Christ's spoken word that we abide. Do you come expecting to hear from God so that even the worst preaching will always contain the nugget of truth, even if it's simply the word of God read? To abide in Christ means we will place a priority on Christ's word spoken, so we'll place a priority on the Lord's Day on a corporate worship. And as a result, it will mean we will desire to meet together to study his word. It means our churches will emphasize in corporate worship the reading and preaching of his word. One of the things that occurs in our presbytery whenever a young minister is ordained is a struggle. It usually happens within 2 to 3 months after he's ordained. All of a sudden, he begins sending out emails. How am I supposed to prepare 2 sermons and do all the other stuff? And every older minister says the same thing. You are to focus on the preached word. You are to make the preaching of God's word the priority because that is what feeds Christ's flock. Beloved, the best counseling I can give you is from the pulpit. The greatest love I can offer you is the preached word of God, because through it, the Spirit convinces and converts sinners, myself included. Now, I personally believe that many of the issues within the North American church are due to the neglect of the priority of Christ's word preach. I think the North American church has become too impatient. And as a result, we chase after hot topics, we busy ourselves with social issues while neglecting what actually saves people. The preaching of Christ's word. That's the only thing that is promised that will save you. That is the only thing that is promised that is going to fix issues. The preached word. And here Christ says to abide in him means his word abides in us. To claim we are united to Christ and make little of his word means we have issues. How can one be actually united to Christ and make little of his word read and preached? It's his word that cleans. It's his word that motivates, encourages, and challenges us so that we bear fruit pleasing to him. So that we learn to love as he commands. So that we will pray as he commands. With God's word abiding in us, we will desire what Christ desires, and therefore, according to verse 7, we will ask and it will be done. Because through Christ's word abiding in us, we will pray the desires of our God, and it will be done. How do you know you are a fruitful branch? It all revolves around Christ's word. First, has it cleansed you? Second, does it abide in you? And the evidence for and against will revolve around the preached word and its priority in your life. Don't be a dead branch. Don't do all the things and have no time for the preached word. Don't be so busy proving yourself that you neglect the reading and preaching of what gives life. Instead, strive to remain in God's word. Let it dwell richly in you. That doesn't mean you need to have goosebumps every time there's preaching. At times you're going to feel preaching and you're going to be convicted. You're going to be cut to the heart. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. At times you will be filled with great joy. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. At times it will go over like a lead balloon. That's not me. And you've got to ponder why. I want you to come every Sunday expecting that God's word is going to challenge you, uplift you, encourage you, rebuke you, not because of me, but because you actually believe in the triune God and you actually believe that the Holy Spirit uses what the rest of the world looks as weird. You actually believe that God uses an infallible man to declare his glorious word, and through that word, God speaks to you and he changes you. I want you to remain in Christ. And how you remain in Christ is you remain in his word. Today, have you abided in his word? Have you done so privately and corporately? Christ's word, I promise you, I will offer it to you every Lord's Day so that we abide in it, so that by abiding in it, we abide in him, so that we bear much fruit. We will be changed. We will face trials and struggles and tribulation. But the promise is to abide in his word means we abide in Christ. And so you will not face judgment. That's the greatest hope that we can offer this world. Come and abide in Christ. And the only way they can do it is through his word. Are you abiding in his word? I hope, I pray that all of us can say yes. Yes. Let us pray. Most merciful Father, O God, as we think of our union with Christ, the promise Christ gives is we are to abide in him, and how we abide in him is through His Word abiding in us. And by abiding in Him, and by abiding in His Word, we prove to be His disciples. And the result will be we will bear much. Oh, Father, I pray that as Trinity has abided in You, we would continue to do so. And as a result, we will be assured that we will persevere to the end because we are united to Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.